Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 28, Acts in chapter 28, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 6. Acts chapter 28, the Apostle Paul now has called unto Caesar. And, of course, because of that, he is on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar as a prisoner of Rome. And his journey to Rome, God had a purpose and a plan for that. And we find one of those reasons, one of the purposes, is found here in Acts chapter 28. So if you'll stand with me, we'll be reading verse 1 through 6. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. As I read, you follow right along with me. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for this, just another opportunity to be in church. Thank you for your presence in this place and what you've already have blessed us with through the music and congregational singing. And now, Father, I just ask that you would help each one of us to focus our minds and our attention upon this passage of Scripture and what spiritual truths you would have us to learn from this. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So Paul now on his way to Rome, and he was in a ship, and in this ship they were in a great storm. Many would look at this and where those at and understand what took place, and many would believe this would have been a typhoon possibly that they were in. He had some 276 men with those other prisoners and then the crew that was there on the ship and everyone else. This would have been a very large ship, especially for this day and age. And as they were on this ship, they went in this great storm, and they had been in this storm for over 2 weeks. And at one point, everyone on the ship thought that this was it, that there was no hope of their surviving this storm, that they would be killed in this storm. In chapter 27, the verses leading up to this, the Bible says in verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." So every man on this ship, from the captain of the ship to the workers in the ships, the slaves on the ships, everyone on this, some 276 people, the Bible says, reveals, now believe that their lives are over, that they're going to die in the middle of this great storm. All of them but the Apostle Paul. And during this storm, and when everyone else thought that there was going to die and all hope was gone, he knew God. And when you know God, you know that there's always hope. Amen. God's always able to do what no one else can do. And in chapter 27, verse 22 down to verse 26, we find that the angel of the Lord met with the Apostle Paul, and he revealed some things to him and then promised deliverance. And not only did he promise deliverance to the Apostle Paul, he said there will be no death of any man on this ship. Even though they all think they're going to die, and the focus is now put on this prisoner, Paul, who was on this ship, for he would stand and tell them that God met with me and God's promise that we're all going to make it alive. But there will be the loss of the ship. The ship will be destroyed, but there will not be one man who will perish in the midst of this. We're all going to be saved. God is going to deliver all of us. Well, then we find chapter 28, and that's what it starts out with. And when they were escaped, all of them now have escaped this tremendous storm, and they are now on this island of Melita. And as Paul, this very same day that they, night, whatever it was, that they arrived on this island, they swam aboard to the island, and they were all safe, but it was a very cold time, very rainy time. And so we find here that Paul was putting some wood on a fire. Now, God not only delivered these men, but he also prepared the natives on the island there, the island people, to receive them. So what a blessing when they got on this island, not knowing where they're at, they're lost, and they're on this island, they're cold and rainy and just soaked. And the people of this island come out to greet them, actually, and welcome them, and they were trying to take care of them. What a blessing. They could have landed on an island where there was cannibals. Amen? They could have landed there and had natives come out and wanting to say, this is dinner, you know, but it wasn't. God had delivered them, and then God had prepared the people to be able to welcome them, and that's what the people say. The Bible says in verse 2, it says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone. They received us. They come out, build a fire for us because of the present rain and because of the cold. They're trying to figure out, all right, how are we going to take care of them? And they're making plans on all the things on how they would have to care for these 276 men for this period of time. Well, in doing that, Paul, not being a lazy man, Paul was going to help them to keep the fire kindled. And in verse 3, the Bible says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he was helping them and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on him. As Paul was putting some wood on the fire, a viper comes out of the heat and fastens on his hand. This would have been a very highly venomous, deadly snake. We know that. Because the Bible says, verse 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. And so they knew that the kind of snake that was on Paul was just not a garden snake. And no, it was not something that was not a threat to Paul. But this is possibly one of the most venomous snakes there are. And it was highly venomous, very deadly. The locals knew how deadly this snake would have been, because in verse 6 it says, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen, because of the venom of this snake and how deadly it was, he would have swollen instantly, pretty much, is what they're saying here, or fallen down dead suddenly. That's how dangerous this type of snake were. Again, they knew of the snake. When they seen the snake and they knew what kind of a snake it was, and seen that it was biting into the hand of Paul, they knew that this was something that he would not survive because of how venomous this snake was. But yet we find in verse 5 it says, and he, Paul, shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. No doubt God had intervened and Paul was delivered now a second time. He shakes off the snake and felt no harm. Now, we're reading this and we understand that God's recorded it for us so that we can learn from this. The Apostle Paul was a servant of the Lord, and wherever Paul went, he stood for Christ and he would preach the word of God. He would witness and tell people how they needed to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And so Paul was doing this, and the Jews did not like that, and that's why they were trying to kill Paul, and it had to come down to the place where Paul had to appeal to Caesar to be able to escape the Jews who wanted him dead. And he knew that he would be going to Rome. I don't know that he knew that he was going to be a prisoner to be able to be taken to Rome, but that's how it turned out. God had it orchestrated. God was working in Paul's life. And so God had worked it out for Paul to be taken to Rome as a prisoner. Now, before they took off and set for sail, Paul had already told those, the captains of the ship and all of those who would have known when it was safe to sail and when it would have not been. Paul had already known that it was not safe at that time. God had revealed to Paul that he would tell them it's not safe to sail. But they looked at Paul as a prisoner and they didn't pay him any attention. And the captain said, no, it's time. We're going to do this. We're going to sail anyway. And so they get out on the waters, and as soon as they get out on the waters, everything changes, and this terrible storm comes through. This is a typhoon. And now they're caught out in the middle of this. And it looked like that all lives would be lost. But God knew what he was doing. And God was working in the Apostle Paul's life. And so now we find that Paul, God delivered them. Everyone's looking to Paul as the one that God used to speak to everyone on the ship. Now he gets on the island. And all the attention is brought back to Paul once again. But the attention's brought to Paul because of this deadly snake hanging on his hand. And he should have died. Now, we look at this and we wonder, not knowing, I mean, now we know, but they would not have known. Was a question to be asked is why? Why would God allow this to take place? I mean, they just suffered being out on the storm and God delivered them. And now the very first day that he's on the island, you think he'd give him a little bit of relief. But the very first day that he's on the island, now he is snake bit. Should we ask why? The first thing I wanted, as we look at this story, and there's so much here to gain from, when something happens in our lives, it doesn't make any sense, and we wonder. Sometimes, you know, we just come through one thing, and something else happens. Should we ask the question, why? Lord, why is this happening to me, and why is it happening now? Paul did not ask why, or it does not record that Paul asked why, because I believe Paul already knew what was taking place here. But the island people did. And amongst themselves, they started talking, and they realized that, because they had just been told what they've come through, and they had just been told that everyone thought that they was going to die, and yet they didn't die, and all of them escaped death. And yet Paul now is looking like he's going to die. And so the island people said, well, must have deserved to die. He thought he was going to escape that, but now there's no way he's going to escape this. And verse 4 of the Bible says, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on the hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. They're coming up with their own conclusions. They've asked, why would this happen to him? Well, the only logical explanation is that he's a murderer. He deserves to die. He thought he was getting by with something and he should have died in the storm. He didn't. But now surely he's going to die. So he must have been a murderer whom, though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Well, that's they figured out. We know the reason why. Wasn't based on scripture, wasn't based on God revealing to them the reason why, just based on their own understanding. Well, that soon changed. Look down to verse 6. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind. Have you ever thought you had it all figured out? And then there's something new to the equation pops up. Get a little bit more information. You see things a little more clearly than what you did to start with. And they changed their minds. And what extremes. He was a murderer, deserved to die. Now he's a god. He's a god. So, should we ask why? Why do things happen? Can I tell you that God has revealed to us what we need to know concerning why things happen? What's going on? What's behind things? Why do things happen? Can I tell you the first thing that we need to understand, and I believe Paul knew this, is that there are spiritual battles being fought every day in our lives. The life that we live on planet Earth is more than just a physical existence. It's more than just evolution. But God created. And God reveals the purpose of everything He created, why He created. In the book of Genesis, you'll read that. You'll find out what He did, the order that He created, how He created, why He created, everything about it. And in doing that, we know that there's more than just a physical reason for us being alive today. There's spiritual reasons. And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship on spirit and truth. Understanding that. He's so much beyond what our physical life is all about. I mean, you look at this earth that He created. I mean, it helps us to see that He is far more than anything physical that we could think of. He is more than our minds can truly comprehend. We know who He is based on what He has told us about Himself. And it all pans out. We look around and He says, natural things will reveal that there's an intelligent design which reveal that there's a God. So we start there. We understand that. And then the Bible tells us that as we live this life, there's more to this life. There is an eternal existence after this physical life. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the Bible is revealing to us the thing here that there's the reason why. He's revealing to us why, what's taking place on in our lives, on this earth. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, and this is a very well-known passage of Scripture to many, but as Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, he says in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." In this life, what we need more than anything else is the strength of God. He is an omnipotent God. He is a sovereign God. He's an eternal God. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so He also reveals to us here that in this life there is God and there is a devil. There is a spirit of God who's very much at work. I think that if you have any spiritual insight at all, you sense the presence of God in this place. And you could sense God was at work in the music that you've just heard. You think that God was at work when He gave us the special in song and God spoke to us. His spirit bore witness with my spirit during those specials. And I was blessed by the message of song. Amen. That's the evidence of God in this place. But there's also the evidence in the world that Satan is very much alive and well. And we find spiritual battles are being lost, and because they're being lost, physical battles are being lost as to the will of God in our lives. The will of God in this United States of America. The will of God that this is a Christian nation that ought to promote Christianity. Spiritual battles being fought and spiritual battles being lost, and thus we're going opposite the will of God, which has always been established for America. I mean, as we look back to the very foundation of our country. And in verse 12 he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," physical, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we find that through the Word of God, that God reveals to us that there's more going on than just a physical life, but there are spiritual battles being fought every day of our life. Spiritual battles. And those spiritual battles are always fought before the physical battles. If you lose a spiritual battle, you're going to lose the physical battle as to the will of God. And that's why also Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 5 and tell us that we have an adversary. It's the devil, and he is like a roaring lion. He seeketh whom he may devour. And so we find that, the Bible tells us that. So as we understand that we are in spiritual battles, when we are facing something, I believe we do need to know whether or not we're under Satan's attack. If he already has you, you're not going to do anything about it anyway. You're just going to continue to be led that way. But if you're trying to live the spiritual life, if you're trying to live within the will of God, can I tell you that Satan is going to try to hinder you from doing the will of God? Satan is going to try to hinder you from accomplishing what God has you here to accomplish. And he works very hard to destroy the testimony of the believer. He'll work very hard to keep you from receiving the strength that you'll need to win these spiritual battles. The storm was a spiritual attack on Paul. As you would read chapter 27, you understand that Satan wanted Paul dead. He wanted to keep him from ever getting to Rome. And so this storm that he was in, everyone thought that they were dead. And physically, looking at the situation, they all should have died. The only thing that kept them from losing that battle and all of them perishing physically was the presence of God. And the presence of God, the angel came to Paul as Paul was crying out to God, no doubt, for God to deliver them. And the angel came to Paul and he revealed to Paul that, yes, you're under spiritual attack and Satan would love to destroy you and keep you from ever reaching Rome because God has a purpose and a plan for you in Rome. And Paul knew that he was under spiritual attack there on that ship, and because he understood that, he was able to do some things to be able to help others to realize that we should die, but because of God, we're not going to die. Amen. Matter of fact, look at verse 22. Let's read this. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. You think you're going to die and you're going to rejoice? You're going to have a peace in the midst of a storm? You're going to have joy? In a spiritual battle, when you know that it's Satan attacking you, trying to steal from you your joy and trying to keep you from the peace of God, if you understand that, you know what you need to do to get this. And so, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life excepting the promises of God. That's what he's doing right here. He's revealing to them the promises of God. And no loss of any man's life but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You have God's will for your life. God's going to deliver you because you're going to go to Rome, and you're going to stand before Caesar. It's my plan for your life. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, Paul says, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I have had several situations and events in my life where I could sense the presence of evil and I knew that Satan was at work. And understanding that, I was able to do what I needed to do spiritually to get the victory. Two times it involved my children, my two girls. And I knew in both those situations, those events, that Satan wanted to take their lives. And as I understood that, and the Spirit of God revealed to me, especially when I was dealing with my oldest daughter, Crystal, and I just sensed the evil presence, and I could understand that Satan had control of this situation, and that if I didn't do something different, that she would be taken from us. I knew that. Because I knew that, and I was aware of spiritual warfare, and I knew that Satan was working in this situation, God was able to give me wisdom and insight and know how to fight this spiritual battle, and it changed how I was dealing with this, which if it hadn't changed, Crystal would not be alive today. I know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. When we're under spiritual attack, better know that you're under spiritual attack and make sure that you hear from God and do what you need to do to be able to defeat that. Defeat that evil. Defeat that demon. Defeat that devil that's trying to destroy your life. In Ephesians chapter 6, that's what he goes into and tells us about the armor of God and tells us about how that with this armor of God, we can defeat the devil. And we can win these spiritual battles. Paul here was on the island of Melita. And he gets bit by this snake. And he shakes it off. And feels no harm. He'd already come through a spiritual battle where he knew he had to do some things to get the victory. There are also natural causes. And even though this looks like a spiritual attack, this viper coming out of the fire. I mean, if you're going to think of a way Satan's going to attack you, we would think, boy, a viper coming out of the fire and grabbing a hold of Paul's hand, and this venomous viper, that's a spiritual attack. And yet, it really wasn't. Go back there with me, because there are natural causes. In Acts chapter 28:3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on him. Now, why would the Bible tell us that? Because it reveals to us how Paul came about being bit by this snake. Paul was cold and wet and exhausted. And yet, Paul was not a lazy person. He's seen these islanders keeping the fire stoked. And Paul said, I'm going to show them. I'm going to help. He's on an island that he doesn't understand the terrain. He doesn't understand the dangers in going out and picking up wood. In certain areas I go into, you realize if you're going out in this area, if you're in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're out in the deserts, be careful because there could be some rattlesnakes out there. And there could be other types of dangers. And so if go to Florida, and I'm talking about just going out on a golf course. You don't go looking for your balls at certain places because there could be snakes there. In Florida, you don't go close to the water at some of the courses you play because there's alligators there. And no ball's worth getting my hand bit off by an alligator. You understand certain things and you understand the dangers. Paul was on this island, didn't know. He wanted to go out and pick up some sticks. As he picked up this wood, more than likely, he was exhausted, he was tired. He couldn't see very well anyway. He picked up a bundle of sticks where there was a snake on top of the wood. Snakes are cold nature. That means that when he picked it up, it would have been somewhat lifeless because it was cold and rainy. And so he didn't realize it. He thought, this is another stick. How many times you saw a stick and then it started moving and you thought, oh, that's more than a stick. Snakes blend into their surroundings. He picked it up. The firewood, as he got closer to the fire, started warming up a little bit. As he started putting the wood on the fire, the snake reacted because it did not want to go into the fire. And the snake, lashing out of the closest thing, would have been his hand. And even though he would come out of the heat as he was getting ready to put those wood into the fire, and the snake now is starting to warm up a little bit, and the snake, as he's putting it in, the fire flames are coming out, the snake turns. It's not a piece of wood, it's a snake, and it grabs a hold of Paul. And Paul realizes at that time, you big dummy, what am I doing putting a snake into the fire? And Paul, at first, no doubt he would have been maybe a little startled, a little bit shook up a little bit, but we find that Paul shakes the snake off into the fire. Felt no harm. See, the snake would have naturally been upset as Paul was trying to put it in the fire. Many things happen because of the laws of nature. God designed nature and established natural things. We need to be careful and not to be foolish in our everyday lives concerning natural things. Matter of fact, in Ephesians in chapter 5, and we'll not turn there because of time, but write it down, verse 15 and 17, it talks about how that we need not be foolish, but walk circumspectly in this present evil world. That means being aware of what you're doing. Being aware that if you spend more than you earn, you're going to have financial problems. God, why are you hindering my finances, and why do I can I pay the bills, and why don't I have money for this? Is that a spiritual attack, or is it just foolishness on how you're handling your finances? If it's something that is of a natural basis, if it's something that is naturally going to take place, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you fail to keep air in your tires, especially in the winter time, you're probably going to have a blowout or a flat tire at some point when the weather starts changing. Because changing from hot to cold and hot to cold, you lose air. And if you lose air in your tires and you fail to keep your tire pressure up, the car's going to have a flat tire. If it has a blowout, you're possibly going to have an accident. It's not the time to start crying out to God for help me with the spiritual battle that's taking place. God says, no, it's of a natural reasoning. Don't be foolish. Walk circumspectly. We do need to understand when Satan's attacking us and it is a spiritual battle, deal with it in a spiritual way and get the victory, and God will give you the victory. If it's because of your foolishness, don't expect God to bail you out every time you turn around. Change how you're living. Walk circumspectly. Paul understood he was in a spiritual battle before. This was something that he's probably telling himself, you big idiot. You ought to know better than to pick up a snake with the wood and throw it in the fire. If you're going to do that, you're going to get bit. But he already knew something. Because the next thing is Paul's response. He's able to shake it off and feel no harm. He might have been startled. It would have startled any of us. Amen. Spooked at first, but then shook it off. This happened on the first day, right after God had miraculously saved all 276 from the storm. Paul was physically exhausted, but listen to me. He was spiritually pumped. No doubt I can see Paul looking at that snake and saying, what I've just come through, psh, really? Come on. Amen. He had been out in a storm, this typhoon for over 2 weeks. Everyone knew that they were dead. And God said, Paul, I don't have plans for you in Miletus. He didn't tell him that, although he did. He said, I have plans for you standing before Caesar. Paul had no question in his mind that God was going to continue to deliver him, because God had a purpose for him at Rome. And he said, I should have been a little more careful. Really? Everyone else didn't understand that. Paul knew that. Everyone else says, well, this is why it's happening and that's why it's happening. Don't prejudge people. When something happens to somebody, don't get into this mindset as, well, it must have been, they deserved it. They must have had sin in their life, and that's why this happens to them, and that's why this is going on. Don't ever put yourself as a place of judge over anyone else. You don't want to be judged. Don't be putting yourself in that type of position. Pray for that individual and turn it over to God and ask God if it is a spiritual battle. God, deliver them, help them. If it is something that is going on in a natural response to what they're doing, God, give them wisdom to see change. We must stay spiritually pumped. If you're spiritually pumped with walking with God and knowing God has a purpose in your life, when we face these other kind of troubles, shake them off and feel no harm. Have the peace of God. When we're spiritually pumped, we learn to downsize our troubles instead of exaggerating our troubles. When you're spiritually pumped, you're looking to God and saying, God, don't understand it all, but I know what I know. I know you're in control. I know I'm doing what you want me to do. So God, give me the victory. Give me peace. Stay spiritually pumped. You'll downsize it. You'll look at it and say, this is nothing. My God can handle it. Yeah. If you're not spiritually pumped, then you're going to let the imagination go wild and everything's going to be a great mountain. And it's going to be over-exaggerated. And it's going to do you more damage than it should ever do you. Downsize it. Shake it off. Stay pumped. Stay walking close to God. No matter what, acknowledge God. Shake it off. For in closing, we find that God did have a purpose for Melita. In verse 6, howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. Paul didn't know what they were thinking. Paul didn't know what was going on in their mind. God knew. God knew exactly what they would think. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. This was used to open doors for Paul to be used by God in Melita. This was a prisoner. They didn't know his background. As far as they knew, he was a murderer. Why else would he be a prisoner on a ship going to Rome? The other men on the ship, the soldiers on the ship, they wanted to kill all the prisoners because they didn't want murderous people to escape. And Paul said, unless everyone is allowed to swim to shore, no one's going to be safe. And the soldiers gave way to Paul and did what he said to do. Now on the island, if God is going to work through Paul, then something would have to separate Paul from the rest of the prisoners as well as the captains of the ship. Because of this incident, God used it. Now they're looking at Paul and saying, this is a god. Amen. Now, God knew that Paul would set them straight. And he knew that Paul would say, no, it's not by my ability. It's nothing I can do. It's the God that I serve that's able to protect me and able to deliver me. This happened the first day. Paul and the other men were on the island for 3 months. For 3 months, if you continue to read, God used Paul to lead people to Christ. God used Paul to heal the sick on the island. God used Paul to establish a witness for Christ on the island of Melita. Even though it's a natural outcome, God is still very much aware of all things. The bay leading to this island today The island of Melita, the bay leading into that island is called St. Paul's Bay. Today, for over 2,000 years now, they've been telling this story on the island of Melita concerning a man that knew God, washed up on shore, should have died by the bite of a venomous snake. That same man brought revival to this island. That same man brought to these barbarous people hope and everlasting life. Amen. When you know you're walking with God, when you fight spiritual battles, know that you're fighting spiritual battles and do what God says to do to get the victory over the devil. And no matter what kind of battles we fight, when you're walking close to God, learn to shake them off. Put your faith and trust in God. Acknowledge Him. Downsize your troubles. And trust that God has a purpose for whatever He allows to take place in our lives. What is it today that you might need to just shake off and trust in God? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Spiritual battles, there are. We battle spiritual battles every day. And when we're in a spiritual battle, we need to know how to handle it. It's through the armor of God. If it's a natural battle brought on by how we're living our lives and what we're doing physically, change it. Change it. Change it by knowing God's will and applying God's will to your life. What's going on this morning in your life? Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God's allowed things to come into your life to get you to the point of salvation. Trust Him today. Don't put it off any longer. Whatever the decision that you need to make, do it now. Don't let Satan have an opportunity to talk you out of it. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the message here in Acts 28. The life of the Apostle Paul, and Lord, how it spoke to us this morning. I pray that You would help us now to make whatever application and decisions we need to make. Work in our midst. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.